From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. An offshoot of the Black Lives Matter movement used Martin Luther King Jr. Day to call for political action by blocking traffic. They blocked the Bay Bridge, attracting national attention and reigniting debate about this form of protest. And at 9:30, Double Talk, the language, code, and jargon of a presidential election. The ebook is just out today, and we'll have the author and journalist David Mark in studio to lead us on a listening tour of the Orwellian way politicians talk. If you haven't reached your pain point yet, you haven't been listening. That's all coming up in this hour of Forum. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. Yesterday, an offshoot of Black Lives Matter blocked traffic on the Bay Bridge for a good hour. We'd love to hear from you. Do you feel they were reclaiming Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy of radicalism on the very day to do it, MLK Day? Does stopping traffic kickstart a broad conversation about systemic injustice, or just annoy people who aren't going to get engaged no matter what you do? I know you've got an opinion, so share it with us here on Forum. Call us at 866-733-6786, and now that you've got your pen ready, 866-733-6786. You can email us at forum@kqed.org, tweet to us at KQED Forum, or post on our Facebook page. We're checking all the possible channels of communication, and we've got a couple people here to talk with us this morning and get the conversation started, including Dan Brecky, blogger and online editor for KQED. Good morning, Dan.
Hey there, Rachel.
Now, you edit NewsFix, and you had a post up as soon as this started happening. Can you give us the lay of the land? What exactly happened?
Well, as you reported, there's a small group of protesters. By small, I mean about 40 or 50 people who did a very well-coordinated action on the upper deck or the westbound lanes of the Bay Bridge just east of Yerba Buena Island. And they managed to block all the traffic lanes and pretty much freeze traffic for, 30 to 90 minutes, depending on exactly where you were Monday afternoon.
And leading to a sort of storm of posts from every possible political opinion on Twitter, on Facebook, on local television news.
Yeah, exactly. So, we post the news on Facebook, for instance, and, this action struck a nerve. We've got lots of comments, and I'll read a couple that may be representative. One person says, "No like on this. I think it is criminal and irresponsible to shut down a vital transportation artery. I don't care who you are, Chris Christie or Black Lives Matter. This is wrong." And another person says, "I like BLM, Black Lives Matter, until they do stuff like this, punishing everyone, including poor people who have to commute to their jobs and family is not a way to get attention for your cause." And then on the other, there's a substantial minority of people who respond this way. "Before belittling the efforts of these young people to be heard, please consider the following words from Dr. King. You deplore the demonstration taking place in Birmingham, but your statement, I'm sorry to say, fails to express similar concern for the conditions that brought about the demonstrations." So, mostly anger and upset, but some people who are really pointing to the legacy of Dr. King.
We also have with us this morning Mia Birdsong, a spokesperson for Black Seed, the group that organized the protest. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Can you explain the motivation for the protest and also how you feel it went?
We think it was a tremendous success. Nobody has ever taken the Bay Bridge before. And to do it with such a small group of people, 40 to 50 folks, was quite a feat. For us, there are a few things going on. As you all may know, the Anti-Police Terror Project put out a call for 96 hours of direct action during the weekend of Martin Luther King Day. This is the second year in a row that they've done that, and Black Seed decided that their direct action would be about shutting down the Bay Bridge. For us, it was about reclaiming Dr. Martin Luther King's radical legacy and taking a stand against anti-Black racism and terrorism.
Now, about a couple dozen people were arrested yesterday. Where are they now?
Yes, 24 people were arrested. They have been released. They are recovering. Many of them were injured during their time with the police. They were handcuffed for the entire time. They're handcuffed from the time they were on the bridge at 5 until they were released at about 11. Many of the folks who were on the bridge were people with disabilities who, you know, one of our messages was about Black health matters. And from police brutality to gentrification, it's really difficult for Black folks in the Bay Area to support our own health and well-being. So a lot of these folks who have experienced criminalization from being people with disabilities decided that they really wanted to participate in this action. And, you know, the police could have been, they were nonviolent protesters, and the police could have taken care of their bodies. And the way that they were treated by CHP was pretty abusive and terrible.
Well, I do want to get into that, but I also want to hear from the people who are calling in now with their comments and concerns and questions. Actually, let me read a few things that I read this morning on Facebook. The protesters could have joined the MLK Community Service Volunteers in a cleanup day in Oakland instead. I think Dr. King would have approved of the latter if he were here today. And here's another comment. Let's see here. People basically saying power concedes nothing without a demand. That was abolitionist Frederick Douglass. It never has and it never will. Again, on the con side, what would have happened if an ambulance was making its way over the bridge and someone died because they were unable to get to a hospital in time? And then on the pro side, if you're more upset about traffic jams than a lack of justice, then you're part of the problem. Going now to the phones, we have Russell in Santa Rosa.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I had a conversation this morning at the gym, and I think that protesters have a right to protest, and that's an important right. But I think it's like smoking and tobacco, and smokers have a right to smoke as long as it doesn't infringe on my right to have clean air. So I think protest is important, but they shouldn't have taken away the rights of so many others. And the ambulance example was a good one.
Thank you so much, Russell. Mia Birdsong, we've heard this concern voiced when other groups have taken to the roadways to block traffic. What do you say to those who say, you know, somebody could really need to get through on this particular day?
Well, you know, Black folks on a daily basis are dealing with the inconvenience and disruption of white supremacy. You know, on the bridge, there are actually emergency lanes that police cars were blocking, but the protesters weren't. If somebody needed to get through, they would have been able to get through. The disruption, you know, if we protested and we blocked an intersection, or we sat quietly in front of the library and the media paid attention to it, then we probably wouldn't need to do things like take over bridges. If our city officials listened to the needs and demands of our communities when we asked them politely, then we wouldn't need to do things like take over the bridge or airports or police stations.
But let me stop you there. I, as a reporter, have gone to those polite protests many a time and posted it all up and broadcast it. It doesn't take blocking a freeway to get reporters out.
I would argue that we are much likely to get a lot more attention and coverage for something like taking over the bridge than we are. Black Seas
so it's
has
scope
done,
and scale.
Done actions that
yeah.
are small and without coverage. This is something that has, you know, I'm sitting here talking to you right now. I talked to several reporters yesterday. My phone was ringing off the hook because this is something that got people's attention.
Let's turn now to Raj in Fremont. Hi, Raj.
Yeah, hello.
Hi. You want to turn down your radio and because you're on it right now.
So I've lived in Fremont my whole life. It definitely is a Bay Bridge often. And I definitely understand, you know, the Black Lives Matter protests. We definitely do need more awareness and more, we need to figure out why these police officers aren't being prosecuted for these horrible things. But I just was wondering how, you know, shutting down public utilities is kind of creating a more positive conversation for this rather than just somewhat annoying the thousands of people that use the bridge. And does that negative energy actually ever turn into anything useful for these protests?
Dan Brecky, can you speak to any previous protests where we've seen direct political action come out of protests like these?
You know, it's a very good question. I think you can't really point to any single protest in any movement that sort of pushed the bar or the discussion all the way to some sort of resolution of a question. But I do think if you look at the long history of the civil rights movement, anti-war movement back in the 60s and 70s, and more recent social justice and anti-war movements, when they do have an effect, it's because of many, many actions like the one that we saw yesterday. And I think the historical context is, yes, lots of people are inconvenienced and discommoded along the way, but, persistence is sort of the hallmark of all these movements. So where yesterday's action ends up or previous actions that we've seen, we'll see. But I think that's something that we should all be aware of.
Going back to the civil rights movement, there wasn't just one march on Washington, D.C. There were hundreds and hundreds of marches.
There were thousands of actions over a very long period of time, and people tend to forget that when Martin Luther King was assassinated, his career had entered new phases against the war in Vietnam, and also he was launching a new campaign that was targeting endemic poverty among both blacks and whites in the United States.
Well, the phone lines are lighting up, so let's get to it. We've got Dan in Santa Clara. Yeah. Or actually, Noah in Berkeley. I apologize. Hi, Noah.
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What would you like to say?
Well, me and my son were on our way to Home Depot, and Home Depot was also temporarily blocked by the protest before they got to the bridge. And Home Depot shut their doors because protesters wanted to say something to Home Depot also. But so we were inconvenienced, but I thought it was a good learning experience. And I got to explain to my son what this was about. And so I am grateful for people who are willing to, risk themselves.
What did you tell your son?
I told him, he learned a little bit about this at school, about from Martin Luther King Day. But I explained to him that the people were mad about police brutality and other issues like gentrification for people of color.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much, Noah. Moving on to David in Calistoga.
Hi. Hey, I'm just trying to figure out the whole nationwide protest in whole as a general, including this as well, that kind of fits into it. And it just seems like a couple of years, a light just switches on and more cops are shooting black people on an unprecedented rate. And it's like, okay, this has not happened before. What is going, it's just like somebody switched the light on. And then it just starts to make me wonder, and I wonder if anyone has really researched this, that when you put it this way, when you go to hear somebody say ants are aggressive, and you go, oh, are they? And they go, well, yeah, but, you've noticed that, or maybe you haven't, that they're actually in regular life, just harvesting and going along. But then if somebody stomps on the hill and then they get aggressive, they go, see, they're aggressive. And they go, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. And it's like they're kind of – sometimes people are being fed to the cause to make profit. And I really think that protesters, before they go out and protest, need to read Martin Luther King's letters in Alabama prison as he explained what the proper way to protest and the meaning for it. Before you just go out there and burn down your neighborhoods and stuff and then make it look like you're feeding the cause to the opposition that you're protesting. And that's really disingenuous to their own cause. And I don't think it's fair that anybody be shot aggressively by a cop. It doesn't make sense to me at all.
Thank you, David. I want to get a chance here in the next 10 minutes to get some more opinions in. Kate Schatz, author of Rad American Women A through Z, we've talked to her here on forum, tweets, I was in traffic because of the bridge shutdown. Used the time to teach my six-year-old about MLK's true legacy of resistance. How can anyone reasonably celebrate Dr. King and criticize a bridge shutdown? Pettus Bridge, anyone? Selma to Montgomery? Alex writes, the right of free speech ends when it infringes the rights of others, and the bridge blockade definitely crossed that line. Rhea writes, hello. I was so inspired by the actions of the protesters who disrupted business as usual yesterday in response to the police violence in the Bay Area. Their actions were directly in line with the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So if anyone is irate that their plans were put on hold because of the traffic, perhaps they need to take a look at why they plan to do anything except work towards racial justice on that day. Let's take another call. Dan in Santa Clara.
Yes, hello. I'm calling to say I'm very pleased to see such a mature spokesperson in articulating exactly what's wrong. I love the tone of your guest. I'm a white guy. I just cannot understand how America has put up with the amount of nonsense visited upon the black community. I would like to urge caution, though. Just getting attention is not enough. There are plenty of politicians and people who can start a fire or whatever it is and say, hey, I'm getting attention. It's important to carefully, you know, choose the kind of things you do. I would like to address one last point, which is, of course, it crosses the line. The point is to cross the line between black people standing up and saying, hey, we're not going to take this, voicing their opinion. And that does infringe upon all of us, and that's the point. That's the point to civil disobedience, is to make a stop. Make us pause, make us think and discuss how to make this country a better place.
Thank you so much, Dan. John writes, those on the left have referred to the protesters who have taken over the unoccupied government building in Oregon as terrorists. If that's the case, then certainly the protesters who are occupying the Bay Bridge, BART stations, and other public spaces are taking away the rights of thousands of law-abiding, hardworking individuals, are much worse terrorists. Mia Birdsong, do you want to respond to that? We've seen that word terrorists bandied about quite a bit, especially on social media.
I don't even know what to say to that. We're obviously not terrorists. We're fighting for black liberation. I think the caller before that said it right when he recognized that the line has been crossed in this country on black and brown and indigenous and queer bodies for hundreds of years. For us to stand up and get people to pay attention to what's been happening to us in our communities, what's happening with police murdering people with impunity, what's happening with us being pushed out of our cities because housing costs are so high. This is how we get people to pay attention. And the right to protest is embedded in American history.
Another question for you. Beyond attracting attention and raising this conversation, what do you hope will come out of this?
We have really specific demands. One of our demands is that we actually divest city funds from policing and start investing them in sustainable and affording housing so that black and brown and indigenous people can remain in their hometowns of Oakland and San Francisco. We want Libby Schaff to resign. We would like Chief of Police of Oakland and San Francisco, we'd like both of them to be terminated, and we'd like the officers who have been involved in the murders of several black and brown folks over the last year to be put on trial for murder.
And out of curiosity, if what we're talking about is systemic violence against blacks and Latinos in the Bay Area, mm-hmm. why does it necessarily help just to have everybody at the top toppled? Why not?
Well, I think that's part of why we want funding that actually gets invested in policing to be divested from policing and put into our communities. We want it put into affordable housing. We want it put into things so that we can have access to the food and health and medical care that we need. We want it put into education and services for our children.
But if Libby Schaff resigns, you're still going to need another mayor.
Yeah, but we would like to have a different mayor. Libby Schaff has clearly aligned herself with the police department. The general fund, a lot of the general fund, she's prioritized funding the cops And we want a mayor that prioritizes funding the people.
Well, let's take a few more calls. We've still got some time. Michael in Mountain View.
Hi. I just want to say I take issue with the term inconvenience. I don't think it's necessarily a simple inconvenience like you walk around them on the sidewalk. They are using you and I and our resources because they're not intellectually or creatively capable of creating their own forums. They took over Bernie Sanders' speech over, I forget where it was. They're taking over his podium that he created and he produced, and they don't have a way of getting their message out without stealing other people's time. The other thing is regarding the police. I have family that are police, and they don't just stand there and have a quiet, like, you know, sort of display. They taunt the police. They're in their face, and they're saying the meanest things. And the police, that doesn't get on TV, that these people are yelling and saying rude things to the police. What goes on the TV is that, oh, they stood there. And that's not true. Like, you're misrepresenting yourself.
Mia, do you want to respond to that? That sometimes, actually, like, you know, the video is not showing the whole story. That some people are I guess verbally taunting and abusing officers.
We have a long legacy of police taunting, harassing, torturing, and murdering Black people in this country. The idea that we're being mean to police. Strikes me as beside the point.
Beside the point.
And I think that, and I think the idea that somehow we were taking over somebody else. I wasn't aware that like your radio show and other media sources didn't belong to Black people. That this is not our forum. I don't think we're taking over something that doesn't belong to us. I think we're demanding that the people like Bernie Sanders, our city officials, pay attention to the things that we think are important.
Can you tell us what's next for Black Seat?
Black Seed has been organizing. Black Seed came out of the Black Lives Matter movement. Many of the folks were involved in Black Brunch. Right now, we are both taking care of the folks who were locked up last night, and we are celebrating this as an amazing action, a successful action. And then we'll keep organizing. We've been organizing. We organize things like we'll get donated food and create
really quickly now, Mia.
Yeah.
All right. I do want to thank you for joining us. This is Mia Birdsong, spokesperson for Black Seed, and Dan Brecky, blogger and online editor for KQED. He edits NewsFix, KQED's blog about news in the Bay Area and beyond. Continue the conversation with us on Facebook, Twitter, and our webpage. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro.